You know, we're going to talk about the March first thing, right? I want to thank all of you from Lighthouse that showed up. It really made me see who really cared about the Lord and who didn't. Astrid was in her house, and the Lord said, I want you to go to the, where's she at? She was sitting right there. I want you to go to March. She travels 2 hours to get here one way. So she got dressed, jumped in a car, and down she came, and did God ever use her mightily? See, and I was praying last night, thanking God for what he did in the prophetic booth, and he said that was my tabernacle. He said, I was tabernacle and in there with them as they were ministering. And I had walked, you know, was walking into the tent, and I went and asked the lady, I said, could I please get by you? She was standing at the corner of the tent, and she about went out in the spirit, and she said to her friend, let her touch you. I said, no, I'm going to go in here and talk to these people. You know, if you guys that have reverend and evangelist or whatever in front of your names, if you would go to these events, and, you know, we all had our little green shirts on, so we all knew who each other was, and you're claiming to have the glory of God in you, well, then you should have had an impact on the people that were walking around about you. Are you listening? I had one lady, and she's not here this morning, she said, I came to your church the other night, and that was, I've never experienced that in any other church. And I noticed she kept coming back into our group, you know, walking around. She wanted to feel the anointing. And see, that's what this is all about. It's all about the anointing that you carry. And, you know, as we were sitting there in one mind and one accord with everybody's anointings intermixing, God was doing a powerful work. And you that came and you sat at the tables and helped us work, I really do appreciate that. And I know God does too. This is what Brother Brett sent me that happened in the tent. I haven't heard from anybody else. He said, at the start, a couple of teenagers came up to the prophecy tent, and they made the one of them go first, and God spoke to him about his pain and his past and told him that he was removing the bondage of addictions among some other things. When he left, he went off with his friends, and they came back about 15 minutes later, and all his friends wanted prophecy also. Even half an hour later, they all came back with children and had them prophesied over also. I thought that was really neat. I hope they found God today, and the anointing was very strong at certain parts during the day in the tent. A man's ear was healed. He couldn't hear. He was deaf in his ear. A man's left half of his body was healed, as well as a woman's elbow, as far as I know. There was one woman that came in, and before she even sat down, God said words like abuse and victim. When God spoke to her, I broke down and cried, and God poured out so much love into her. He waits at her bed at night and just holds her as she sleeps, and she broke down crying. There were also a few people that God said to anoint as prophets and seers. See, God used you to anoint people as prophets and seers, including two children. I also heard Christopher and Catherine doing a deliverance on a child as well. It was great, and God is so wonderful. A lot of Spanish people showed up, and we needed two translators. Astrid was invaluable in that tent, and I am so glad you had her in there. She was prophesying also, as well as translating, and she was so happy to be there today. And then Sister Barbara has to learn how to hold the anointing. Where she at? The anointing hit her so strong while she was praying over somebody that she went out in the spirit. So, you know, here she is prophesying. And I looked and I saw her dance. And I don't want to ever see you sitting still in church. I saw you dancing all over the place there at that place. So wonderful things happened yesterday, whether you believe it or not. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you right now, God was truly there. You know, I was listening to Jesse Duplantis. One of the preachers this morning, and he said, was it Philip? Philip just said, when God asked him to do something, he said, yes. And so when I went over to Astra, and I found out she was over there prophesying to our people, I said, do you want to work in the tent? She said, yes. And I said, well, you have to put on a green shirt. Yes. I said, well, come on, let's go over here. She said, yes. And all the time she's saying yes, she's going like this, you know, just jumping up and down. And I thought, well, God, she was saying yes to you. No hesitation. Total obedience to God. And she was invaluable. Like somebody, Brother Chris, I think, said prophesied or some man, and that guy said, that sounded great, but I didn't understand a word you said. So Astrid came over there, and they ministered to the man again, and then God prophesied to him all over again. And I was talking to somebody back by the baptismal pool, and he was saying that if only the people would start ministering to the people on the streets. He said in their church, what they do, they go to a gas station and stand and talk to people and bring them to the church. They go out on the street and get the drug addicts, talk to them, bring them into the church. But then their church also feeds people. And so they go to the homeless, and they bring them in, and they feed them, and the people give their heart to the Lord and start coming to church. And God has told us we have to get out of the four walls and start working the streets. And so you guys are you have to start working the streets. You don't quit your church, but you go out like these people did, and they minister to people on the streets, workplace, wherever, and then they bring them into the house of God. And I was just so excited because God said that wasn't just a tent, it was his tabernacling place. And the anointing was so strong in there. Astrid said something about she felt God, and then a light came down and just told her what to say. You know? And I walked in there a couple of times, as it's everything going all right. I just felt the anointing so strong, I wanted to stay in there. You know? I'm hearing God say he's showing himself mighty right now to his true people. And he's going to work through his true people. You can't be sitting home making excuses why you can't be in the house of God. You can't be making excuses why you can't go to God's functions, because when you stand before God, I don't care how much you prophesy, I don't care how many people you get set free, when you stand before God, he'll say to you, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I don't know you. Because you only go to God when you feel like going to God. You know, okay, well, today I want to sleep in, or today I want to go shopping. You know, God, I'll see you some other day. That does not work with God. You have to serve God with, comes first in everything that you do. Everything that you do, he goes first. So I want each one of you in here this morning, I don't care where you go to church at, what you do, always put God first. And if you put God first place, God will take care of all your desires and all your dreams. He really will do that. You have to be a vessel that wherever you go, the anointing goes with you. And when people touch you, they're going to feel it. And the only way you can do that, saints of God, is if you're walking holy, if you're totally committed to God 100%, you're sold out to the very fiber of your being, like Astrid was. Yes! Yes! And so excited. Barbara Alsop says she's so spontaneous. And she is. But see, God wants all of us to be that way. And when you do that, when you do that, guys, God's going to move every mountain that there is. Every mountain that there is. This pastor said, you still have people come to your church? I said, absolutely. You know? Come on. I'm believing that, like Astrid, God started using her here the service before. Then he used her mightily at the march. I believe that God has done a new thing in a lot of our lives. And we're going to be more powerful for the kingdom of God than we have ever been in all the years we've been in ministry. He started something, and he's told me this. He started something, and he's not going to stop it. And he said, the anointings on his people are going to be so strong that it will even shock them how strong the anointing is that they carry. But now you have to learn to carry it and not go out in the spirit. Now that's okay. You know Heidi Baker. If you ever seen her, you know, she'd be preaching, fall down and with her feet up in the air and the microphone in her hand, laughing and preaching all at the same time on the platform. So don't shortchange God. Don't put him in a box. If you have to lay on the floor and kick your feet and minister, well, that's the way you do it. Amen? God is God, and I don't care what he does. I just don't want him to do that to me, all right? God is God, and he'll do whatever he wants to do if we allow him to. I want you to, as you're sitting here this morning, open up your spirit, man. Let your spirit, man, be wide open to receive whatever God wants to give to you today. Do you know why that? You know, people kept coming around and standing in our area. Did you notice that yesterday? We had a whole bunch of people standing in back of us because that one lady said, there's anointing here in this ground. I'm going to stay here all day. And she did. I kept looking back, and she was still back there, her and her friend, two other friends. They know. You see what God's doing? Faithfulness. Obedience. Sister Reverend Rebecca here, she knows me from years ago. She used to come whenever we had all the revivals here. And she's seen me high, and she's seen me low. Well, she's going to see this church high once again. And she's a vital part of the church, too. She's a vital part of the church. And I'm just excited because I watched you younger guys out there yesterday, you know, the new converts that come in here. You were so excited. You were so on fire and so vibrant. And people couldn't help but enjoy going by the table because they just felt the anointing flow off the table. I know some people kept coming back and forth in front of the table. And I said, can I help you something? No, we're just walking. But they kept walking back and forth in front of our table, you know. This morning I'm going to talk about as in the days of Noah. The Lord spoke to me in 1977 when I was first born again and said, these are the days of Noah. And he said, speak it forth and do not hold back. That was 1977, and I know it was going on before 1977. Genesis 6:5-9 says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I want to tell you something now, just come to me. God spoke to me like, because I prayed about and thanked him for everything he did. So he said, I really wanted to do some deliverance there, but the people weren't quite ready to do a public deliverance. So I want you guys to get ready to do a public deliverance. I mean, I know that the little boy got delivered in the tent, but quietly, nobody knew what was going on, and just that. But God really, he said, there was people there walking around you that needed a deliverance and needed to be set free, but they were not quite ready for that yet. So I want you to get ready, because God's going to use you to do deliverance when you're walking down the street. Are you listening? Well, Merlin, I'm just hearing God say, on your workplace, God's going to have you lay hands on people unknowingly, and they're going to be set free. They're going to be delivered of all kind of demons that are deep down inside of them. And you're just going to lay hands on them, and the anointing in you is going to flow through them, and they're going to be set free. So don't get shocked when you start screaming, yelling, because you don't know what happened. Amen? Because you're going to be ready to explain them what just happened. The anointing that's in you broke the yoke that was in them. Genesis 6:5-9, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. How many of you ever sorry you did help somebody? Yeah, because it's such a dip, right? And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. How many of you have asked yourself, God, I'll bet you're really sorry that you ever invented man, right? I have, because we have really walked all over his son. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is a genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. See that? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is a genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. This is what God is looking for right now. Because of Noah, God did destroy everything. Because God had Noah build the ark. And he preserved the animals and Noah and his family. Because up here, God said he was going to destroy everything, right? because he found one just man. All right, we're supposed to be praying for America, so I was praying for America last night, and this is how I prayed. I said, God, I said, I know you told me some things are set in stone and they have to happen, but there's other things that are being spoken that don't really have to happen, that you're looking for intercessors to pray, you know, these things away. And I said, I'm one just person, and I'm holding this up before you tonight, so I'm asking you not to allow this to happen to America. Are you one just person? Are you righteous? Then you can say, God, I'm that one person. You can say, like Noah, like Abraham, and I'm asking you to spare and not do all the things you said you're going to do. All right? Now, see, that's simple, right? I didn't lay there in my face and kick my feet and pray in the Spirit for 10 hours. I just sat there. I just like that. God, I sit in a chair and say, this is what I want. Now, if God has you praying in the Spirit, that's wonderful. I mean, I do pray in the Spirit. And I do know people pray in the Spirit for hours and hours and hours. But, you know, what I'm saying is you can just simply talk to God. You don't have to get all spiritual. Just simply talk to God. Genesis 6:11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. All flesh. See that? And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. See, that's why the earth is corrupt, because of people. And God says he's going to destroy them and the earth. And Genesis 6:17 says, and behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And Genesis 7:1 says, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. God is looking for a righteous generation. Generations 8. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. God is still looking for that one righteous person who will cry out to him and cause God to stay his hand. Do you have children that aren't walking with God? They're backslid. Then are you righteous? God is looking to you to pray so God will stay his hand and keep your loved ones safe until they get their act together. God is drawing us to himself into a place of safety. God spoke, these are the days of Noah, as the people did not understand what Noah was doing. So will they not understand what I am asking you to do. You know, people don't understand why I do what I do. People will never understand why you do what you do. They will never understand why you travel so far just to sit in a little church. They will never understand why you get so excited whenever God uses you to minister to somebody. They will never understand why you are so adamant about delivering, getting people delivered and set free. They won't understand you because the world is the world. There's too much world in the church. And God is looking for those righteous people that he can work through. And we won't be concerned about what people are saying, but we will just be interested in doing what God is telling us to do. Now, we're going to be asked to do things that we've never even heard of from God in the days ahead. Real close days ahead. God's going to start speaking to us, and we're going to start doing things that others have not heard of. But you know you heard God's voice, and you're just going to go ahead and do what God told you to do. Ever since God's called me to minister, I've always done things that they never did in this area. And I was always come against because of it, but now everybody is doing the things that God first had me do. So we're forerunners, right? Forerunners go ahead of everybody else. They prepare the way for everybody else. So you're a forerunner. God's going to ask you to do things that will seem totally crazy to you. Do them. and do them immediately. Don't sit around and wait. Do them right away. God spoke to me about obedience. And see, one of the things is that we are not obedient. We sort of procrastinate. Well, God, is this you? I just don't know if I heard you right. Yeah, we go on and on like that, and that's disobedience. Be like Astrid. Yes. I want you to learn that word this morning. Yes. And whenever you learn it, have expectancy in it. You expect God to do something just because he said something to you and you said yes. All right? Again, he said, these are the days of Noah. When the ark was to be built, laughter and scorn were the response, so it shall be again. When Noah was building the ark, they laughed and mocked and made all kind of fun of him. And this is the way it's going to be again, guys. So are you ready for that? Can you handle the scorn? Can you handle the people mocking you and ridiculing you and walking away from you? If you can't handle that, then God's, you're not a candidate for what God's going to do in these days. Build me a resting place, said the Lord God. Who will build me a refuge? Who will build for me? Asked the Lord. Are you ready to build for the Lord? Are you ready to rebuild the tabernacle of David? Are you ready to go out there and do whatever crazy thing you hear God tell you to do? Are you really ready for that? Because if you are, then get ready, because God's going to be visiting you and he's going to be telling you some off-the-wall things. But just go ahead and do them. Again, he said, these are the days of Noah. I am speaking, I am seeking, and I am waiting for a joint effort to build my realm. Storm clouds are gathering. I am calling for a building, a reformation of the kingdom. It is at hand. Who will build? Said the Lord. What shall we build? 2 Samuel 7:13. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. David wanted to build that house, but God said, no, you have blood on your hands, so you can't build it, but your son will. All right? And then God said he's going to establish his son's kingdom forever. I require, says the Lord, a house, a home, a safety chamber, a place of rest. This is what God requires to be happening in his church. He requires his church to be a house, a home, a safety chamber, a place of rest. That's what your own home that you live in should be. There shouldn't be bickering and confusion and all manner of darkness and evil. It shouldn't be in your home. Your home should be a home of complete light, that whoever comes to your doorsteps will feel that light, and you'd be surprised how many people you get saved. When I used to have the church in the home, we also had a food pantry. And the people would come in for the food pantry, and they would say, what's going on in this room? You know? And I said, I don't know what's going on. They said, I don't know, but there's something in this room that's different. It was a good difference. And they would go get the food and come out and sit down in the chairs. And just sit there. We didn't care. I said, sit there as long as you want to. They were feeling the anointing that was in that room that we used for the church. And they wanted to stay under that anointing. We would talk to them. Some would think we were crazy. You know, others came and joined the church. But still, the anointing was in the room. Is there an anointing in your home when people come into it? They want to sit there and stay under that anointing? Are you a righteous man or woman of God? Then the anointing's there. You just have to make room for that anointing. Amen. I was continually with Noah and those who were with him, says the Lord. He was continually with Noah and those who were with him. In like manner, I will be with you. I am asking for a new ark of safety. You know, you have to understand, you are the righteous one, right? I don't care if you're not the man of the house. You are the righteous one. God will be with your husband, or he'll be with your wife, just as he is with you. And he will be with your children, just as he is with you. He just requires us to go ahead and do the new thing that he's calling us to do, and that's rebuild the tabernacle of David. Houses of refuge. that other people can run into. When God told me to put that sign up in the door, I forgot how long ago that been, 8 years ago. I didn't have no idea what he wanted there for, but I do now. But I said, this is what God said to do. Let's get the sign made up and put it in the door. You know, God was preparing us and still is preparing us for what he is about to do. You could be in here this morning. The anointing could just settle in on you. And then when you leave here, you could go to a restaurant to eat. And as you sit there and the waitress comes by, she can feel the anointing on you. She could pass out in the anointing. You know, or she could just say, wow, what's going on here? You don't quite understand that you are a vessel that God puts his anointing in, and you are then a carrier of that anointing, and he expects you just to go on living life as usual. But every place you go, that anointing is going to come out of you and touch people's lives. Come on. Are you ready to be a tabernacle of David? Are you ready to be a new vessel that God can work through? Are you ready for the anointing to increase so great, sometimes even you have a hard time standing under the glory? Many times in my home when I'm walking around, I stumble. And I don't stumble over anything. The anointing would just get so strong in me that I can't hardly stand up. I've even been out in the stores and that's happened. This is what we are called to be. We are called to be glory carriers. We're just not called to sit in a church and just hear about it. We are supposed to be active with it. I am asking for... I so long. So long for the day when God will once again have the anointing so strong that people will be pulled from their car. You know, they're driving by here and they go park their car and they said, they told us something just made me come in here. And as they opened, and we opened the door for them, they fell out in the spirit and we had to drag them out of the doorway to get other people in. I so long for, God told me not to want what I used to have, but I so long for God to move in the supernatural once again. The greater works. We already did the works of Jesus. We want to do the greater works now. And see, unless you get that hunger and that thirst deep down inside of you, God's not going to do anything for you. You know what I mean is he's not going to put that strong, deep anointing in you. You're going to have to hunger and thirst for that. When you get up in the morning, that when you're laying in your bed, that's the first thing you're going to think of. God, I just want you to move so strongly. Not for my sake, but for the people's sake. I know who you are. I know what you do. I've been in the miracle realm. I don't need it for me, but the people around me need it. The world needs to see you. Right? And, you know, that's, I lay in bed and, you know, because my kids, you know, I sleep between two kids and they're just twisting this way and that. And I lay there when I'm laying there awake, I just constantly cry out to God. God, everybody needs that anointing in them so strong. Even your bed should be anointed. That's the truth. Are you hungering and thirsting after the deep things of God? If you would just hunger and thirst after the deep things of God, God's going to fill you. He's looking for hungry and thirsty people. And if you're going to worry about what other people have to say about you, then you'll never get it. Never. I was aware of a mandate from the Lord. He is calling for a reconstruction of a tabernacle, not made by hands, but established in the hearts of men. This tabernacle is a continued communication between God and his subjects. I was watching Joel Osteen this morning. I said, Larry, look at all those people. Can you imagine what that'd be like if all those people were filled with the Holy Spirit anointing? My Lord, there was enough people there to touch the whole city, you know, as they're in there. The anointing should just go, you know, like a big explosion and touch everybody around about that building for miles and miles and miles. That's the way God wants it to be. He just doesn't want us to sit in the house of God and just sit and be content and comfortable. I'm never content, never comfortable. I don't care what God's doing. I want him to do a little bit more than what he's already doing. Because that's old stuff now. Yesterday was old stuff. We want new stuff. We want new anointings. We want new glory. We want to be filled so full of God. He's not a stale God. He tells me, you think too small. Well, I'm thinking as big as I can think. Amen? And you and I said, God, you told me to think big. Now, come on. Now, you have to fulfill what I'm thinking. Because it's for your kingdom, not for anything for me. But you know what the church is? They're so busy thinking about, what am I going to wear to work tomorrow? What new fancy style is out there? Am I going to meet a man today? Am I finally going to get my husband? You know, we should be thinking like that. We should be thinking about kingdom work and kingdom things. And we shouldn't be concerned about what's going on around about us at all. We should be totally and completely thinking, but what is God going to do today? How does God want to use me today? You know, if you would just get that mindset. See, when I was at the march, I had that mindset. God, I'm sitting here, I'm watching people, and I want you to tell me whatever you need to tell me about these people. I want you to share your heart with me. Jade can go over there and sit in my seat if she likes. But were you doing that at the march, or were you just sitting there running around, you know, just gibby-gabbying and just not worried about the kingdom of God, but just having yourself a good time? I kept shooing all the kids away from me. You know, if one of the kids come up, I said, go to your parent. Because that was my day to be alone with God. That was my day to sit and allow God to do whatever he wanted to do through me. That was my day to totally sit and hear God's voice about what's going on in the community. And God spoke a lot. We need to get to that place, saints, where all you want is God. I didn't say ignore your family. I didn't say that. Because we are supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. We still have to function daily. But we, you know, we can be functioning, but we can be up here too. Amen. God said, I am calling for this now. You know, the rebuilding of the tabernacle in our hearts. I'm asking my people to resist the temptation to disrupt the plans that I have. For as in the days of Noah, the people were not ready to have a relationship as Noah had with me. All right, don't expect everybody, I do, but don't expect everybody to have the same relationship with God that you do. But I do. I think you all should have the same thoughts and same desires, same everything that I have. Because if you do, then we're going to tear the kingdom of darkness totally apart. How are we ever going to, you know, how are we ever going to break the darkness over this area? Pastors from other states don't want to come in this area. I've told you that before because it's too dark. Somebody said to me, well, Rodney Harrow Brown said, Barbara, why don't you move out of there? You would have a big church. I said, God hasn't told me to move. Somebody has to stay. Well, he said, it's so dark and cold there. I said, somebody has to stay, and I guess I'm it. Somebody has to stay, and I guess you're it. That's probably why God had you move back here, because you're it in that area you live. Do you understand it? You're it in that area where you live. You're the light that God is trying to make brighter. You're the light that God's trying to put a hunger and a thirst in for the righteousness and for the things of the supernatural. You're it. Come on. I've been in many states, and this is the worst. But I don't complain about it because God has me here. So if God has you in a certain place, don't complain about it. Thank him that he has you there. Thank him that you're the light that he's going to use. Thank you that he knows exactly what he's doing in your life. And just go on and rejoice. Lost my place again. For as in the days of Noah, the people were not ready to have a relationship as Noah had with me. They were children and they were chiding and complaining and making mockery of what was being established in the earth. A man heard my voice. He obeyed me. His family was spared. Creatures were placed in safety. Do you know, says the Lord, that every animal I place in the ark will never perish, never perish. One man heard my voice, and he obeyed me. Because he obeyed, his family was spared. Why are you not that one man? I'm talking to women too. Why are you not that one man, that one woman, that hears the voice of God and obeys him? And does exactly what he says. Don't do anything you want to do, but do exactly what he says, and then let him go ahead and do his part. One man He's looking for one man. A couple months ago, I saw the eye of God again. I said, God, what are you looking for now? He said, I'm still looking for a man who will obey me. When he says man, it means a woman too. And I said, well, God, haven't you found him? He said, no, I have not found him yet. They're still doing their own thing. And I need a man who will only do what I'm telling them to do. You know, I'm just hearing God say, you might think you're little and amount to nothing, but that's not true. You are everything that God has created you to be. You are in God. If you're a righteous person and you're doing what you know God's telling you, then you are in the perfect will of the Father. And he said that is substantial. So if you know that God has told you he's going to do something in your life and it hasn't happened yet, it will. It will be happening. And when it does, you'll say, hey, God, slow down. Because God told me, he said, all right, daughter, you've been asking. And when it begins, you're going to be so busy, you won't know which is up and which is down. So get ready for being so busy, you don't know what to do with yourself. Amen. Just as spontaneous as Astrid is with God, I heard she has a heavy foot too. So we're going to take the lead out of her shoe, Lord. You just ask God to transport you. He will take you from here to there in a few minutes. He will. I read that about a couple of times. Different people where they were like, I'll say in Ohio, and all of a sudden they were in, California. They were in their car. God transported them. And we don't want you to get no ticket. Amen. Just say, God, transport me. You know where you're sending me to go, and I need to get there quickly. Transport me. How about you guys? Save gas. And gas is expensive right now. See, we don't even ask God to do what he wants to do. He is transporting people. You know, he is doing all these miracles. But we're just sitting by listening at other people's miracles. We aren't having them happen ourselves. Are you really hungering and thirsting after these things? Come on. Man will never perish. That which is made in my image will not die. For I am an eternal God and will not die. I said I would never leave you, never forsake you. Trust me, says the Lord. I am on a collision course with man's agenda. I will move my kingdom, my domain, my presence, my person, my realm, my atmosphere. I will move it as a suddenly in your midst, and you will stand in awe. He says, I'm on a collision course with man's agenda. You know, as I was reading that, I thought about Reverend Rebecca, who was so excited because she finally graduated after 7 years or 30 years or however many years it was. And, you know, she finally graduated. She was so excited about that. Are you that excited about what God's going to do for you? See, I know you do. But see, this is why I just brought that up. God put it upon my heart. So I brought it, bringing it up as an example. We get excited about those types of things. And she did a wonderful thing, too, by finishing her college. But do we get just as excited about the things of God? See, it's not wrong to get excited about things we do in this earthly realm. It is not. But we need to be just as excited or more excited about the things that God wants to use us to do. I look around this room, and you people are so intelligent. I told that to that pastor. I said, I have the most intelligent people that anybody has in their church. I said, they're awesome. You know, he just sat there and looked at me. I said, they're really an awesome bunch of people. They're smart and intelligent. They have good backgrounds. He said, really? I said, yes. And I mean that. I mean that with every fiber of my being. You guys are that. You're everything. You are the prime people for God to use to build his tabernacle. Your hearts are hungering after the things of God. If they weren't, you wouldn't keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back. You're hungering and you're thirsting after the things of God. You know there's something missing in your life and you want to find out what it is. And what it is that God has a little hole in there that he wants to pour his whole self into. And he wants to use you for signs, wonders, and miracles. And I know we're not looking for signs, wonders, and miracles. I know we're looking for souls, but you know, the world needs signs, wonders, and miracles. Let's just face it. That's what they need. They need to see a mighty move of God before they're going to, because they have enough out there in the world that they can see. But if they just, how many of you seen, how many of you are praying for somebody and they have a need of some sort and you say, God, just meet that need. Cause that miracle to happen. That will transform them. That'll change them. You know, they need something, you to do something drastic in their life to get their attention. Give them a miracle, Father. Give them a miracle. Amen. Why is a question I hear often in my ear, when is the next? This is God speaking. But I say to you, it is for you to know the seasons. It is for you to plant and reap in them as they come upon you. That will satisfy me, says the Lord. I will move in your midst. In other words, just be working for God. Don't keep, I have to repent. I keep saying, when are you going to do this, Lord? See, he wants me to quit asking him that. And you know, and I really had to bite my tongue and do all kinds of things not to ask him that question. He's already told me when anyhow, but now I don't have to ask. He's already told me. But you know, he doesn't want us to do that. He just wants us to go ahead and just work for him and just enjoy him and be a light in a dark, dark world. And then one day, boom, you know, there you'll be, wow, how'd I get here? I didn't even feel you move, Lord, but there you'll be, ministering to people. Jeremiah 8:7, even the stork in the sky knows her appointed seasons, and the dove, the swift and the thrush observe the time of their migration. But my people do not know the requirements of the Lord. I didn't know there was such a thing as a swift till Kathy Walters talks about it, and she said the swifts are on the move again. And it's a mighty thing. Noah heard and acted like he was scorned, but he had my ear, said the Lord. Noah heard and acted like he was scorned, but he had my ear, said the Lord. In other words, even though Noah was in a mess, he still heard God's voice. Even though you're going through a mess, you can still hear God's voice. Even in the deepest, darkest valley, if you cry out to God and you really sit down and talk to him, you'll hear his voice. And he'll answer your questions. Believe me, he will answer your questions. God's telling me he speaks to his beloved. And he desires so desperately to speak to us today. He doesn't want you to have to go seek out a prophet. He wants you to be in your home or in your car or at your workplace, and he'll just start speaking to you. You know, God used to speak to me 24/7. Then there come a season. God said, now, from this day forth, you're going to walk by faith. And I didn't know he meant he was going to shut up. But he didn't talk to me very, very often. And I didn't like that at all. That's a hard place to be. But he already told me, you're going to start walking by faith from this day forward. Then I don't know how many years went by, and then finally God said one day, I'm back. And he's been speaking ever since then. But saints, if you're not hearing God's voice, he hasn't left you. He's teaching you faith. See, when God's there telling you every second of every day what everything is going to go on, you really don't have to have faith. Because you just have a God who's telling you all things. But then God comes to a point where he said, now you have to walk by faith. Then he said, build up your faith, daughter, because you're going to need your faith built up. Then he put me in that dry spell. Only talked to me when it was a dire emergency. And that was awful. But I sure built my faith up too. So God never leaves you nor forsakes you. I am speaking to many today at this very moment. I am sending a word of exhortation. I am proclaiming to you, I am in the rebuilding business. I have been rebuilding the tabernacle of David. Acts 15:16 says, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. God will build his church once again. Whether you want to be part of it or not, he's going to build his church. Whether you want to be a righteous person and run for God with everything in you, doesn't matter. God is going to build his church. He will find somebody to take your place if you don't want to be there. So if he leaves you along the wayside, it's not his fault. Because he's been dealing with your hearts. He's been saying, I want to use you. I want to abide inside of you. I want you to be my light. God's going to build his church. Acts 15:16. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David. I read that, didn't I? Just fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. Do you agree with God that the church has fallen? That it is not the church that God ever meant it to be. And he has to come and do something with the church, or else we won't be able to save the souls out there, guys. You know, you ought to feel excited that you're part of this rebuilding. You really should. You should be ecstatic that you're part of the rebuilding of the house of God. This is the house of praise. Yes, praise is building a safe place, for I will dwell among those who praise me, and they will praise me even more, says the Lord. I understand why God is having us sing fast songs, finally. He's having us sing fast songs because the people, you know, you people get excited, you're rejoicing, and the devil has to flee. And, you know, we start out with them two slow songs, and I thought, now, really? You know, we have to be singing fast songs to get the rejoicing and the dancing going. Get your spirit man alive and going. And if you want to sing one slow song at the end, that's fine. But God said, sing fast songs. I want you to dance. I want you to shout. I want you to rejoice. And that tears the devil's kingdom down. I would just like you, I liked the old lullaby songs years ago that we were raised with. You aren't as old as I am, that we were raised with. But that's all in the past. Now, God is doing a new thing. If we're going to be part of the rebuilding, we have to be doing what God is doing. We can't be going backwards. We have to be going forward. And even when you don't understand what God is doing, go forward anyhow. Just do what he's telling you to do. So here I am, God, an empty vessel, just walking. Just doing what you're, I do, because I don't understand what I'm doing. Do you understand everything God's asking you to do right now? No, you don't. Be honest. No, you don't. But you just say, I'm the empty vessel, Lord. I'm listening and I'm doing everything you tell me to do. And just go. And then when you find out what he was doing, you say, how dumb. Well, I was really dumb. Why didn't I figure that out right from the get-go? Have you ever done that? Finally figured out what God is doing and you think, why did I fuss and moan and groan about this? Right? Come on. We need to quit fussing, moaning, and groaning. We need to just go ahead and be vessels of honor that God can work through, and then just do what God's telling us to do. When I heard what this pastor was doing, I said, God, he said, don't even go there. I'm not going to let you do what he's doing. That's his project, you know, him and God's project. I have something else for you to do, and you know what it is. Now just be quiet. So, you know, if you want to see somebody else doing something exciting and you're just sitting there, blah, just sit there, blah, because God still is going to do everything he's told you he's going to do with you. Psalm 22:3 says, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. I am rebuilding, reemerging, and reestablishing. When my kingdom sees a king, it will change the nation. I am rebuilding ancient walls. Even now, researchers are finding ruins in the land of the ancient ones. I am being found, and now I will make you seek me with more interest. Now I am calling for a building of my kingdom, says the Lord. I am rebuilding a house of praise. This noise will be heard abroad, and many will come and see what is happening. I am rebuilding a house of prayer, and many will come and be healed and taught to know my voice. I am rebuilding an army of lovers of the king, and many will then change their habits. I like that. I am rebuilding an army of lovers of the king, and many will then change their habits. Until you fall in love with God, you're not going to change your habits. I have news for you. Just to get closer, just to enter. For whom does not want to be close to a king? Asked the Lord. I am reemerging myself as a royal priest, and many will come and humble themselves in front of the mighty altar of hope. I am reestablishing my boundaries, yes, my commandments in the hearts of men, and once again a revival of holiness will come forth. This will change nations, says the Lord. When my kingdom sees a king in the house of bread, it will change the nation. I tell you, my throne will change the nation. I am making myself seen so man can be like me to the governmental leaders of nations, networks, and marketplace leaders. It is a day of the new things, as in the days of Noah. Watch, pray, and obey. Matthew 24:37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, and so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. You see that? Take this warning, my loved ones, for time is running out short. I am on my way to make the great change. You heard it, now I will do it. Seat me as king. Your reward will be great. The kingdom is at hand. For the king must be recognized as present. As in the days of Noah, those who were not educated on my ways did not believe I could speak and I could direct a new thing. Again, I say it is a day of new things, as in the days of Noah. So you have been in these days, for I say to you now, do not lose your hope or vision. Go and be it. Do not lose your hope or vision. Go and be your hope and be your vision. I am speaking now to you leaders to watch and pray and obey, for the building must take place. You know, we must learn to love the unlovable. Love, it must be our foundation. We have to quit hating and judging and looking through the eyes of the world. We have to look through the eyes of Christ. God told us he wants us to look through spiritual eyes and not natural eyes. We always look at everybody with these natural eyes, and all we see is the outside that's being mean. We never look past that and look at the heart that is broken and torn apart. And therefore, we judge what we see on the outward appearance because we never ask God to let us see the person's heart. Amen. 1 Peter 5:1, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow leader, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Yes, share with one another, for you in my kingdom must be a team. God just spoke to me about that Friday night. He says, the lighthouse has to be a team. We cannot work independently. We have to work together. The body of Christ must work together. We must be hearing God's voice at all times. And you know, God said, if you will, you will be a leader of nations. But you have to hear my voice. You have to obey my voice. You have to do what I'm asking you to do. This is a day of great opportunity for those who truly do love me and who truly trust me and are really hungering and thirsting after me. I will take you to higher ground. I will take you to depths in my kingdom that nobody else is going into, because forerunners are going to see things that others have not seen. They will do things that others have not done. Are you one of those who are preparing your heart to be a forerunner into the deeper things of my kingdom? Don't reject God right now. Don't turn your head and look at the things of this world. Keep your eyes fastened totally and completely on Christ. Keep your ears open to what God is saying to you. Listen intently all the time for the voice of the Lord. You know, it's one thing for God to speak to you, but it's another thing for you to act on what he's speaking. You know, I can speak to my kids all day long and they don't do what I tell them to do. And this is the way the children of God are. We hear God speak, but we don't do what he's telling us to do. He said, ministers unite, fellowships unite, people receive the word of the Lord through ones you know not, for it is I who am building my kingdom in the below. You know, everybody's not going to receive you, but God has the person that they will receive. So don't get upset if somebody does not believe you. Just know that you weren't the one to minister to them to begin with. Amen. See, this is where you get discouraged, because you think that everybody is going to listen to you. You think everybody was going to want to do what God's telling them to do through you. But that's not true. God said, it is me calling, it is me directing. I am with you forever, says the Lord God Almighty. Here's a little prayer you can pray. You can read it up on there. Dear Jesus, I surrender all to be a subject of your realm. I choose this day to submit myself to you and to your word and to those of your kingdom. I choose this day to unite and believe you can and will be in every house of worship. I will accept them as my own family and admonish them as they do your will. I choose this day to covenant with you and tabernacle with you to rebuild relationships and repair bridges and conform to your image. Amen.